Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Well, obviously the weather is changing, so we are doing some of our activities now indoors, some outdoors still. And hey, I'm the outdoor guy. I'll be going on snowshoes through the farm all winter long. But as we head indoors, one of the popular activities, hobbies, is birding. And people will be setting up or have set up bird feeding stations. And I'll talk to you about the different types as we go along today on the show. And what I really wanted to tell you is the key thing for you is to select a location that you can view from inside your home, especially if you happen to live in one of the colder climates. And I'll give you an example of two scenarios. Where I used to live, I had a feeding station right outside my front door, a little porch there, foyer, and I was able to be maybe about 15 feet away from the feeder, able to, with the binoculars, to look at the eyes, no joke, of the birds, taking photos with my cool zoom lenses up close and personal, and it was hours of enjoyment. Now I move on to the farm, and I have a music room. And on the music room, where all my instruments are at, in the music room, I've got sliding glass doors, so I hang a feeder about 15 feet again. By the way, 15 feet is not the magic number. It just happens to be the distance that's working for me. But I put it in a location, once again, where I could simply view it and get a good look at them. And again, because I am the photographer guy, the film guy, well, I'm going to take pictures of them as well. So I'm going to talk to you right now about different types of seed and seed blocks, seed bells. Well, years ago, had the typical tube feeder out there. Myself and down the road was Inspector Dave, also feeding tube feeders. And I'm not exaggerating. He put like black oil sunflower seeds, which are the most expensive, which are going to attract a vast array of birds. But probably in an hour, it was just like literally gone. So you'd have all these birds in, and then now they're gone. Well, what happens if you wanted to view them an hour later? Well, you'd have to put more seed in. And it became very costly. Inspector Dave and I found seed bells. And you can get a mixed blend. You can just get black oil sunflower seed. And with that, it's like a honey type of thing that holds the seed together. And it takes the birds a little bit longer. They need to work for their food, but also gives them a little bit of energy, the honey that's on it, holding it together. And then as seed bells became a little bit less available or the cost involved, and by the way, it was way less expensive when you went from tube feeder to seed bell. Seed bells easily much cheaper too because of the length of time it would take for them to go through that bell. And then we found these, we'll call them blocks in a sense. They were almost like a mutant double candy bar, human size. And we were putting those out there, and they lasted pretty long time. And they had a great mix of what's going on there. And I'm going to give you a cool example. I found, and I'll get into suet and suet feeders in a little bit, but I found if you know what a cage is for suet, and if you don't know, well, then go to your local bird store, outdoor store, and you will find out. By the way, many supermarkets even carry them. Well, I found a suet cage on steroids, a monster one, but I also found seed blocks that were made specifically for it. And the one that I've been using, because there are so many different types, mine is the fruit, nut, and berry medley, and that's actually what it's called. If you were to look at it from a human standpoint of what's inside of it, you'd go, hey, that looks like an energy bar I ate yesterday. Well, I know that animals, think about this. I always say this when I'm teaching about animals in the wild. If you use a lot of energy, you have to go out and get energy. So energy for us is important, but energy in the wild is vital for survival. Well, what I typically do is this. when I go to the store, I don't just buy one. I buy a few of them because I want to have stock there, because sometimes it might be a cold morning and the birds are hitting it hard, and all of a sudden that it's just like gone. Well, you want to go replace it right away. So having a few in stock. And I've also noticed that, and this makes sense, right now, we're going to call early fall, there's still available food sources out there. So the birds will still be feeding, you know, what they're finding in nature and here. So those seed blocks, bells, tube feeders, they go a little slower. But as it gets colder into the winter, depends on where you live in the country. Hey, we have people from around the world listening to this, so it depends on where you live. Well, as it gets colder and then snowy and snow covered, you're going to find that they're going to hit your seed much more often, because that happens to be available food. Now, let's talk about where you set this up. So I said the distance, I said, you know, location. Well, if you happen to have deer or bear in the area, expect them to hit your station, but they're going to hit it in a much different way. My good buddy, the Featherman, one time, he said he had a little feeder attached to his deck on the porch, on the railing, and a big old bear came up and just bent it down, said, excuse me, food. My great friend Giselle Smisco, the director of the Avian Wildlife Center, a lot of bear in that area, she said that she just can't set up, and I'm going to talk to you about how I set my feeder up based on Giselle's in a few minutes here, but she just can't set a typical feeder out there. And think about this. And I knew this was probably going to happen, but I had to try it this way first. If you know what a shepherd's hook is, so you're putting a stand that goes in the ground about 6 feet up, and you got the little curly Q coming down that you could hang a plant on it, or you could hang a bird feeder on it. So I put one out, and it was about, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago. It's about 8:30 at night. I'm in my living room there, just watching a little TV, trying to nod off, and I'm hearing boom, 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 and I know what it is. And I get up, pitch blackout, and I walk to my music room, and there's a big old buck smashing the shepherd's hook. Bang, bang, bang. And he couldn't knock the seed off, so he just stood on his hind legs, reached up with his mouth, and pulled all the seed down. And I guess he had a good meal that evening. So I just share with you that you might want to think about other ways, and here's one of the other ways. Going back to Giselle and the Avian Wildlife Center, what Giselle did was she would throw a rope over a branch, lower it down. It's got a hook on the one side, and you could put your seed block, seed bell, whatever you want to put on it, and then pull it back up and then tie it off around the tree. So I just said, all right, I can do that as well. Well, the other critter that we need to take care of, I'm going to take care of him two ways. One, I'm going to prevent him from getting seed, and then the other way, I'm going to allow him to get some seed. And those happen to be the most ingenious creatures, I believe, are squirrels. Well, a few years back, and if you have not watched Joey B versus a Squirrel on Joey B TV, it is the number one most viewed episode we have. And that's Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, our online TV show. You can get there by going to joeybee.tv. But don't go there now, because, hey, you need to listen to this. But later on, for a little viewing pleasure about what squirrels can do, well, I found the Squirrel Away Baffle. It is absolutely the best baffle to prevent squirrels from getting on it. So when I threw my rope over, I lowered it down. I hooked the Squirrel Away Baffle, and then I hooked my, as I called my mutant suit cage by size, up inside it. And the birds are happy. The squirrels can't get it. But as the seed falls on the ground, well, the squirrels are happy. They're getting, you know, the birds, as they pick away at your seed bell, seed blocks, some seed's going to fall. And the squirrels, there's enough food for them there, because, you know what? Without talking about the Joey B versus a squirrel, squirrels will find a way to take that seed. So I just share that with you. So now let's go to, you've taken care of some seed, you've taken care of the location. We spoke about different types, and I'll get to suet in a little bit. Actually, you know what? Let's go to suet right now, because let's continue to talk a little bit more about food. Well, Suet has a very high fat content. And what people will do is they will set up two locations. Some people have three and four locations, but two locations. One with the seeds, loose seeds, seed block, seed bell, et cetera, those we're speaking about. And the other one with suet. And suet, because of that high fat content, it attracts many of the woodpeckers. And by the way, my fruit, nut, and berry medley also does. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about birds as we go along in this show as well. Well, I'm going to let you know that having a second location, so you need to select, again, a different location. In my old home, I believe it or not, I explained to you on the front where I had a feeding site. And then I selected one in the back because it is in my great room, these beautiful large windows in the back looking out into a snow-covered area. So with that in mind, I said, hey, I'll put the suet there. And I would just sort of bounce between the two of them, especially on a snowy day. And so you can go with a little bit of suet. And again, they sell suet with berries and some with nuts and some with a little bit of orange. It's like all these different. It's almost like when they talk about fishing lures. Jimmy Houston, popular fishing personality on TV, says fishing lures don't catch fish. They catch fishermen. Meaning you go to the store, you look at this and you go, man, that's cool. So you buy it. Yeah, the company just caught you. So I'm going to let you know that a lot of times when you're buying suet, it's the company catching you, and the bird's going to go to any one of them that you do put out there. So adding to something that you can put out there that will continue to attract birds is a bird bath. And many people think about bird baths in the summertime. Well, birds need water all the time, so I'm going to let you know that there are heating elements. Inspector Dave, he's got his bird bath, and he has a heating element that he puts out there in the wintertime. And I'm going to let you know that I happen to call it a bird jacuzzi. Because if birds want to come and take a bath, take a drink, and go get some food, it's all in one central location. So that is something that's important. You also should know, again, because birds haven't been trained out there, they will scat, they poo-poo many times in the water. And sometimes you'll just get, in summertime, algae growth, etc. You should be rinsing that out. The easiest way of doing this is part of your daily regime is to rinse it out and put fresh water inside of it. And you know this. It's like watering your plants. If you're doing it every single day at the same time, it's routine. And that is also important. And in the warmer months, you're going to get butterflies to land at that bird bath. And you always want to have a landing place for the butterflies. Have a rock that's just about out of the water. And some people always put a little bit of sand inside there because the butterflies really don't like wet feet. And that's one thing. And you're also going to get honeybees. And honeybees will come because for for bees, that's who makes honey. Yeah, it's bees. For bees to make honey, they need water, so you're going to get them stopping by as well. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So, you've got your station set up, you got your food set up, you got your bath set up. Well, now we're inside, and let's take a look at a couple of different things. I always recommend putting a bird field guide there. I grew up with the Peterson field guides. There's so many that are out there. Some have beautiful colors. The Peterson field guides, just, you know what? I think we all get to a point in life where you're going, hey, this is who I am, or this is what I read. And I've been using Peterson. You can use any one that you want out there. Because sometimes a bird shows up specifically during those migratory times, and you're going, he looks familiar, but he's bang, right? In the guide, you make that comparison right there. And that's why taking photos is great, because now you took a photo, go in the guide, go, look, oh, he's a, and there's your answer. And I'm talking about me now personally, besides that camera, in wintertime, I'd have a cup of hot tea and lemon. I tried tea like probably 8,000 million ways. And many years ago, I was playing out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And on Sunday mornings, the team would go out for breakfast. And obviously, I was part of the team. You go out for breakfast, and they would have tea and lemon and toast and honey. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll try that. And they go, wow, tea and lemon. It works. It's good. And to this day, I do make a light cup of tea with a little wedge of lemon, and life doesn't get better. Now let's take a look, no pun intended, you're going to see where I'm going with this, through our binocular lenses. Well, Ramsey Outdoor, they carry the Vortex Diamond Head, or Diamondback rather, HD 10x42s. And I'm going to tell you, I mean, I have plenty of pair of binoculars, backpacking pairs I take, eagle watching and all this. Well, I'm letting you know that I just got this pair from Ramsey, and they are the best binoculars I have ever looked through. Spectacular. Besides, you know, my bird feeder that's there, you can look out through the fields from my music room all the way down to my one of my ponds in the back. And I pull it out yesterday, and there was a bufflehead duck migrating through, and he's in my pond, and it looked like he was in my music room. It was that crystal clear with the Diamondback HDs by Vortex. And most of the companies, when they sell you the binoculars, their neck straps just aren't that good. The comfort level, because I'm telling you right now, for those of you that have birded for a while, use binoculars, maybe you're outside like myself also doing research, and around your neck for a while, if you don't have a comfortable strap, your neck will bother you. And that was one of the key things I loved, you know, just like the addition to that clarity in those Vortex binoculars at from Ramsey. And the other one was their case comes with a strap, so you can actually strap the case onto your chest in the same place that you would keep your binoculars. So you can actually just flip it up, put your binos in, lock it down, and continue. Say you're backpacking somewhere and you don't need, because if you're birding, your binoculars are out all the time. But say you're backpacking through somewhere, hiking through, and don't necessarily need them all the time. Well, then it's a good, safe place to be them. And I'm going to let you know that I am so excited because where I live in the country, the eagles from Canada, they migrate down. And as they migrate down, they keep stopping and feeding. And when that river freezes, they move to the next river. And the first river that does not freeze solid is the Delaware River. So I can go out there in the wintertime. And I always describe it this way, and I'm not exaggerating. And I've done shows on eagles and migration. I've done shows just on migration. Well, the cool thing is, on a bad day, I tell people I'll see 3 bald eagles. And on a good day, I see 33 bald eagles. So with those Vortex Diamondbacks, I am looking forward to eagle migration coming up soon. So I saw the bufflehead in my back pond. And then I've got a few migratory wood ducks coming through. And one resident who had their chicks back there early on too. So here's the deal now. Now going back to the feeders, because hey, this is about bird feeding stations. And what would a bird feeding station be without birds? So I set this feeder up. And you know what's funny? There are two types of birds, two species, that let everyone know. You know how like some of you, you have vocal friends who are just going to say, hey, everywhere over here. Well, chickadees and nuthatches. As soon as I put the bird feeder up, and I'm not exaggerating, 15 minutes, the chickadees are calling, and they're zipping in 15 minutes. Bang, 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 bang. And I got constant little, I call mini flocks of chickadees coming to the feeders. Well, that's one thing. And then the other one are one of my, and I always hear, you always hear me say this because I have many favorites, but one of my favorite songbirds also happen to be nuthatches. And there is the white-breasted, and he's been coming in, and there's a few of them, so they got like a little mini flock, and I haven't had any red-breasted nuthatches come in yet. See, I am that optimist man with that. Now, you can throw loose seed on the ground, and I typically buy a bag of that in the wintertime because we will get snow covered here, and finding available food is a little difficult. So I'll throw just loose seed on the ground on the snow cover, and right now, as the seed falls, I have many cardinals coming there because they happen to be ground feeders. They do sell platform feeders, something else we could talk on another show. And the platform feeder, think about this. It looks like the ground because it's a flat place and the seed comes on. So birds that are platform feeders will go up there. But right now the cardinals, they're all on the ground. I love that red. And the female, especially in the wintertime with the snow, with that orange beak, they just pop out in the snow. Again, one of my favorite birds. And I've got tons of tufted titmice on there. So with the nuthatches, the chickadees, and the tufted titmice, it's just happening, buzzing all the time. And then one of the guys who comes around every now and then, believe it or not, is a house wren. And the house wren just sort of checks things out and is gone a little bit. And on the ground yesterday, outside the feeder, I had a winter flock of robins. Because everyone thinks, I shouldn't say everyone, many people think that, oh, robins, they migrate south. And some people say, oh, I saw the first robin of spring. Well, if you look around all winter long, you will see, because some robins do not migrate through. Some robins, like the eagles, migrate through to here, because some here left. And you will always see them. And I had the winter flock out there already. Well, then you've got the LBBs, the little brown birds. Because there are so many different species of sparrows. And you go to your Peterson guy, you look in the back, you'll be like, holy moly, how many sparrows are there? Don't get me started on warblers. Different story, different day. Well, with the LBBs, they're there mixing in with the chickadees. Good friends of mine, personal friends of mine. And then I get the house and purple finches inside there. So you're getting some color going on with that. And then, because I've got the fruit, nut, and berry medley out there, I am getting the woodpecker family. Downies and hairies all the time. Every now and then, I get a red-bellied coming. I hear flickers calling all over the property, but no flicker. Again, the new feeding station I have now is only out there for about a month. Flickers calling over, haven't come in yet. And then it was like the day before I hung the feeder, there was a pileated woodpecker, which is about 2 feet tall, the one we designed Woody Woodpecker after, no exaggeration, with the red plumage on the top. And he was on the branch that I was going to hang the feeder. He's basically saying, excuse me, put it right here, please. So I know in the wintertime, the pileated will be there as well. And then as migration continues, and then on the reverse coming back, so think springtime, I am looking for orioles to be landing there. I'm looking for scarlet tanagers to be like some. Again, I'm giving you some of my favorite birds. Now, so far, the juncos have not made it here. And juncos are ground feeders, but I have some of the cardinals and some of the juncos and even some of the blue jays have figured out how to land on a feeder, not a platform feeder, but a regular feeder. But I know that winter is here. The cold weather when the juncos make it down, and they have not made it down. And I also know in the springtime, when spring really is here, when the juncos are gone. So you know the warmer weather is here because they're moving back north. So the juncos will make it down, and they will spend the winter here. So it also just gives me a little bit of, you know, I can tell seasons of what's going on based on the birds. I get hours of enjoyment, hours of peace. Couldn't we all use a little bit more of that? Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.